Luke chapter 13. You got it? There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. You ever just sit around and talk when you really don't have anything to talk about? And so you just start coming up with things to talk about. And I believe, and in my opinion, I'm not very good company because I don't have a lot to talk about. I listen a lot, but I just don't have a lot to say. Obviously there are things we could talk about depending on different situations, but just sitting around, I don't just fish for things to talk about. I'm just as satisfied to be in your presence and not say a word. That's just me. But sometimes I've noticed that when we sit around, we look for things to talk about. And in this situation here, they were looking for things to talk about. They brought up something that had nothing to do with anything that was important. In fact, we might even say that verse 1 was pure old Baptist gossip. Just talking about it. Just talking about people that they thought had gotten themselves into a situation, and they were just going to talk about that situation. Jesus answering, verse 2, said, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things?" So, were they targeted, these ones from Galilee? Now, we reference them in other places, but these Galileans, do you think that they paid a price because they deserved what they got? You see, and that's, again, we keep coming back to this idea. God must be trying to tell us something. That we must be careful how we judge people. Be careful what we think about people. Not just what we say, what we think. We have to keep our opinions in check and make sure that we are flooding ourselves and immersing ourselves in the Word of God so that God's truth overrules everything in our mind. He said, "You suppose they were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered these things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." He said, "I got news for you. What happened to them can happen to you." And I won't ask you to acknowledge this, raise your hand, but how many of us, and I'll admit it, have judged someone else harshly and then God put you through the fire? Through the same fire that you judged them on, and then you looked back and said, "Oh, I should have been softer on that. I shouldn't have been so dogmatic in my stand on that." Look, I'm not talking about compromising the Bible. I'm talking about halting your opinion and keeping ourselves reserved and keeping ourselves in check. And how about being a friend and loving people rather than judging people? Again, I'm not saying we shouldn't have discernment. We have to be able to discern. God gave that little rattlesnake a rattle on purpose. And you get around him, Sister Gladys, don't pick him up. And so there's discernment. We've got to have discernment. And I know that she would remind me that if we just don't pick up any snakes, we'll be safe. Amen. But God gave us discernment, didn't he? He gave us the discernment to not embrace things that go against his word. To not embrace behaviors or patterns that work against God's plan. But he also here reminds us, but for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. I don't know if you ever do it, but I sometimes think back and look at the pivot points in my life. Anybody ever change your life? Made some right decisions? That had you taken the other choice, you would have gone a completely different direction. Jesus said, "Do you suppose they were worse than everybody else?" Well, the truth is they weren't. Truth is, they were just people like you. And except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. How about those 18, verse 4? "Upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them Think ye they were sinners above all them that dwell in Jerusalem? Yeah, God got them. You see, that's the mentality. God got them. God judged them. God punished them. That's the mindset. It's not a new mindset. It's an old mindset. And Jesus was fighting that mindset while he was walking on earth. That we got to have compassion toward people. The truth is, we say, well, they got what they deserve. Well, the truth is, their actions sometimes bring about certain consequences. Now, there's no way around that. That's the law of sowing and reaping. But we just need to be mindful about how we call it out and keep ourselves humble and realize that that could be us or our kids or our friends with one wrong turn, one bad decision. Decisions have consequences. Choices have consequences. Somebody say, well, I want to get right, but how do I get right? Make better choices. Make better choices. Get in the Word. Read your Bible. Go to church. Now, it won't fix everything if you go to church for 3 hours a week, but it'll help. You got to read your Bible at home and make the right decisions every day. Jesus said, except ye repent. Guys, we got to look at our lives. He put it back on them. He said, what about you? What's going to happen to you if you don't change? What's going to happen to you if you stay on this course? He spake also this parable, verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Now, does that strike anyone funny? What are you growing in a vineyard? Grapes, right? Vines. Grapevines. He planted a tree. Now, how many of you think that a fig tree and a grape vineyard would stand out? And that's the point. The point is that we're supposed to stand out. A certain man planted. Now, planted, what does that tell you? It was purposed. He didn't come out one day and look in the middle of a vineyard and say, hey, there's a tree. How'd that get there? He doesn't look at our lives and where we are and say, how'd they do that? How'd they get there? God doesn't do that. He purposed. He planted. He chose a spot, went out in the vineyard, surveyed it, figured out where he wanted to put it. He got a shovel. He said, put it there. Right there. How many of you believe God's done that with you? He said, I want you right there. That's where I want you. What was the purpose of a fig tree in a vineyard? All kind of different explanations. All different ideas. But the one thing is, we know it will stand out as we are. It'll be different than everything around it, as we should be, right? We're supposed to be, the Bible says, a peculiar people. We're supposed to stand out. People should see the difference. It would have a different expectation. He did not expect the fig tree to perform the same as the grapevine. He did not expect the same thing off the fig tree, as he did off the grapevine. It's different fruit. Let me tell you something. What God expects of you is different than what he expects of me. To some degree. And you say, Pastor, are you sure? Well, he wants us all to get saved, all to get baptized, all to join the church, all to be part of his organization, all to tell people about Christ, all to worship and pray and praise, all of that. He wants all of us to do that. But he has other things he wants all of us to do differently. So your calling and my calling are different. We are all, for purpose of this instruction, we're all fig trees. But you're supposed to stand out in the vineyard where you're planted, and I'm supposed to stand out in the vineyard where I'm planted. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to stand out. There's a different purpose. There's a different benefit. And by the way, if that fig tree grows, it's going to take up some of the space of the vines. In fact, the shadow that it casts may stop some of the growth of the vines. Think about that. The fig tree. He planted a fig tree in his vineyard. Now, as we look at this, we understand by studying the scriptures that when you plant that tree, you need to let it grow before you start looking for harvest. Before you expect anything from it, you got to let it grow. Let me tell you something about my experience with Christianity. If you'll get saved today and start telling other people how to get saved today, you'll be a good soul winner. If you'll get saved today and get baptized just as soon as you can and join the church, you'll make a good church member. If you'll stick with it. If you'll stay with it. But if you feel like getting baptized was the crowning achievement and that's all there was to it, then you'll just fade away. And we got to grow. I've seen people get saved and they start reading their Bible and they start, you might start in Genesis. I always encourage start at John, but start wherever you are if you're going to read it and read it. Read it word for word all the way through. And when you get done, start over and do it again. Read it every day and learn it. And when you have a question, ask somebody. Pray about it. Let the Holy Spirit give you guidance on what the understanding, what the discernment is of the Scripture. Read your Bible from the beginning, first day, every day. And it'll make a difference in your life. But if you just get saved and you don't get baptized and you don't read your Bible and you don't tell anybody about Jesus, you won't grow very much. You won't. If you expect to get fed every time you come to church or every time you listen to preaching, and that's the only time you get any growth out of it, you're not going to grow as much as you could. And we talk about the fruits. Well, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, we're not talking about winning souls. The fruit is not the winning of souls. It's about a relationship with God. It's about the way it changes how we think and who we are and how we love and how we look at the world and how we look at God. It's about changing us. That's the fruit. So if we want to bear fruit, we've got to know God. If we want to bear fruit, we've got to talk to God. If we want to bear fruit, we've got to listen to God. That's how. You see, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If any man abide in me, then he gets fed and he'll bear fruit. Why? Because those grapes don't come from the roots. But if you track it back, it comes from the roots. So we've got to get planted in Christ and planted in a good church and planted in a good Bible study and planted in a good prayer life. Because that's what's going to feed our soul. Fig tree in a vineyard. 3 years it should be left alone and not be harvested. 3 years. Takes it that long to mature. That's when people get saved. We got to give them a chance to get going, don't we? We got to give them a chance to... I like for them to get right into it and get started, but we got to give them a chance to mature. You know, you can't come in here and understand how a Baptist church works your first business meeting. And so what I recommend is that you, if you're going to figure out how a Baptist business meeting goes, come and sit through one and just listen. Or five. I mean, just listen and, you know, just learn how it goes, you know. And you'll finally figure it out. A pastor told me one time he had come to a church and I knew his way of thinking and I knew there were some things that church did that really weren't biblical and needed to change. And I said, when are you going to change it? He said, Derek, you don't jump in. You step into the water and you ease your way in. He said, otherwise all you do is make waves. You know what happens when you make waves? They get a new preacher. As I'm not saying, well, you know, oh, you're coming here to turn the church around. Well, come to get the church right. Put the church on the right course. That's the idea. Ease into it. We're not talking about turning it into an anti-biblical, un-Christian church, but ease into it. Don't make waves. Teach people. Give them a chance to learn. Teach them and let them learn how it works. And if you're the one coming in, take your time and learn how it works. That's business. That's ministry. That's everything. Give it some time. And if you want to learn right away, you want to crash course, ask questions. Ask some questions. You say, well, how do we do this? How do we do that? Ask some questions. Learn. That's how it works. Well, 3 years went by, verse 7. He said to the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Well, that tells us that his expectations were unbiblical. Because Leviticus says, don't even harvest it for 3 years. So his expectation was unbiblical. I find none, he said, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? He said, I planted this tree on purpose, for a purpose. In 3 years, all it's done is suck the nutrition out of the ground that could be going to these grapes. And it's not done anything. It's not given me anything. Are we ever that way with people? Are we ever that way? We expect them to do more than they're capable of doing or than they should be able to do according to their maturity, according to their spiritual maturity. But I love what happens here. Because the husbandman, the keeper of the vineyard, is a true friend. We need true friends. Now, I see the character of Moses. I see the character of David. I see the character of Joseph. I see the character of Christ in that husbandman, the vine keeper. And by the way, let me tell you this about a vineyard keeper. It'd be easier for him if that fig tree wasn't there. Just would. If we could just make everything even rows, make it just right. I remember when I went to seminary, I said, y'all want a cookie cutter preacher come out of this seminary. And I fought it every step of the way. You know what they made me, do you believe this? They made me wear socks. Now, I know that sounds a little funny now, but we're talking about, 30 years ago. They wanted me to wear a belt. Now I'm getting closer to suspenders. But think about, so those rules that I thought, those rules shouldn't be the rules. Well, hey, let me give you an idea here. They had those rules before Derek got there, and they had those rules when Derek left. It would be easier for the husbandman if he didn't have a fig tree in the vineyard. If everyone was uniform, if everyone was the same, if every grape was exactly the same shape, every vine was producing exactly the same amount, and then he goes and puts a fig tree right in the middle of that vineyard. And it would have been easy for the husbandman to say, you know what, boss, that fig tree doesn't fit in here anyway. Give me a shovel and a chainsaw and let's get it out of here. Right? Would have been easier. That's not what he did. Verse 8, he said, Lord, let it alone this year till I shall dig about it and dung it. Let me nurture it and nurse it. See what I can do if I give it a little personal attention. And maybe we can turn this thing around. It would have been easier if he hadn't done that. But he saw the benefit of the fig tree. He saw the benefit of that planted, intended, purposed tree that didn't fit in but had a purpose. And he says, if it bear fruit after that year, well. And if not, we'll cut it down. What's the message that Jesus was sharing with the disciples? He said, guys, not everybody's going to fit in to the cookie cutter image you've got in your mind of how everybody should be. But we need differences. We need uniqueness. We need to trust the Lord when he plants someone around us. And by the way, what are we supposed to do if we're the vineyard? Just keep producing grapes. Don't worry about the fig tree. Just keep producing grapes. We know if that fig tree wasn't here, there'd be more nutrition to go around for the rest of us. If that fig tree wasn't here, I could not have to be shaded all the time. I get more sunlight, and I like that sunlight. That fig tree's in the way. Imagine the vines talking to each other, gossiping about the fig tree. Because that's what happens. All the vines say, hey, we're all the same. We're all the same. We are all we're all in this together. Where'd that fig tree come from? He doesn't belong here. Or she doesn't belong here. The Lord said, let's give them a little personal attention and see what comes out of it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this parable shared with us tonight. We thank you for the fig trees. And God, as we look at ourselves as being that fig tree, we're thankful for the personal care and attention that's been given to us through our lives. Or some of it by family, some of it by friends, some of it by ministers, other brothers and sisters in the church. They took up with us and said, you know, if I spend a year with this one and give a little more attention, a little more time, we just might make something of them. And so we're thankful for those who took an interest in us. We pray that we'll have such compassion as we've been taught tonight through these scriptures. Forgive our sins. Make us useful. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.